This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 18th of June, 2014, and my name is Patrick Smith. How's it going, everybody? It's a very warm June evening here in Manchester, I can tell you that. But we've got a hell of a lot to talk about. As I'm sure you know, over the last 7 days, there have been quite a few events with regards to Belfast Giants ownership, Belfast Giants management, Belfast Giants players, be they current or former. The lads will be along in just a moment to talk about all of that. We'll also be chatting with Todd Kellerman about this week's announcements, and Dave Grant, good friend of ours here on the podcast, and he'll be on to talk about the fantastic UK Forum All-Stars event taking place in just a few short weeks at Ice Sheffield. Of course, you want to get in touch with us at AVFTB on Twitter, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com is the email address. Soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our interviews and little sound clips. And the website is, as always, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Let's get on with it. It's really warm. It's 26 degrees in Manchester, and so I've decided to come into a dark back bedroom and talk to two men on the internet. First of all, a man with a few grey hairs around the side of his head is Mr. David McGimsey. How are you doing, mate? Rough summer?
Quite proud of my grey. I'm going salt and pepper gracefully, mate.
And also we've got the Dark Destroyer, Neil, with Coach Russell. How are you doing, mate?
Evening, Patrick. Thank you, two boys.
Those that have been on social media or know the coach well will know what that intro was about. Gentlemen, it has been, we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks, and what a few weeks they've been. It was quiet for about two, three of those weeks, and all of a sudden, bang, in the last 7 days, we've had quite a bit to talk about, so here we are. Let's start with the big news. On the 12th of June, Cardiff Devils announced that there would be a new ownership team to take over from Paul Regan at the Big Blue Tent. And on the Friday the 13th of June, after 14 years at the Belfast Giants, Todd the Killer Kellerman resigned from his role as general manager of the Belfast Giants. And he, along with his friend Steve King, have taken over as the new owners of the Cardiff Devils. And then on Monday the 16th of June, there was a fan event where Todd was, well, moved on from the organisation, stood in front of a crowd of nearly 1,000 fans and said his goodbyes. Steve Thornton remains the director of hockey operations, while I believe there must be a role now in the commercial aspect. And it begins a new chapter for the Belfast Giants. Earlier on this evening, myself, David and Neil, the coach Russell, got to chat with the former general manager of the Belfast Giants, Todd Kellerman. We're delighted to be joined now by the former general manager of the Belfast Giants, now the co-owner of the Cardiff Devils, Mr. Todd Kellerman. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm good, Paddy. Thanks for still having me on the show.
Well, you know,
we've never had me.
We had to think about it. You know, there was a bit of a discussion between the lads. We thought, you know, it would be only right.
One more time.
Before we get to the topic at hand, what I do want to ask you about is, last season, we now know, is that it was your last season as the general manager involved with the Belfast Giants to 14 years. I haven't really got a chance to ask you yet, but how did you feel that season went? Were you disappointed with the outcome of that season, given the potential, or were you happy with just the league championship?
No, I was disappointed. I got to admit, the team we had and the run we were on, I'm disappointed. I didn't necessarily think we had to win everything, but I kind of expected to. We dominated the league like no team has really dominated before. And I mean, even when Nottingham won everything, they didn't run away with the league like we ran away with the league. I thought we imploded in the Challenge Cup final in the second game. Like, the first leg was great. We were right where we thought we had to be. And then the playoffs, I mean, it's a crapshoot in the playoffs, but I didn't think we showed up the way we should have. Like, I mean, Sheffield played well, but I mean, it shouldn't have been a contest, because we, all year we were that dominant, you know? So, it's a shame, but it leaves a sour taste in your mouth because the league is seen as the big one to win, and that's the one we won first. It leaves a sour taste in your mouth when you don't win the playoffs or don't win the Challenge Cup. So,
Of course, then in came Steve Thornton, the replacement for Paul Eddy, and we now have a situation where you've departed the Belfast Giants and become the co-owner of the Cardiff Devils. How did the purchase of the Cardiff Devils come about?
It's happened quickly, and I mean, it's still happening. I mean, you know, nothing, nothing finalized. I'm not worried about it being finalized, but it's yeah, like we're just, it's with the lawyers right now, and it's taken, you know, probably a couple of days longer than I thought, but yeah, I'm all in, that's for sure. Like I'm actually down in Cardiff right now, and looking at houses and all that kind of stuff, and I did a tour of the rink today, and you know, it's a very different business right now, and it's exciting. It's, you know, like it's a totally different business. Like, I mean, the fact that we hope we get 2,000, and in Belfast, if we got 2,000, we'd be shooting ourselves or quitting. You know what I mean? It's just a different business model. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know me, like I like the challenge, and you know, every interview I've had, I said the same thing. I said, I love Belfast. I absolutely love it. I love every bit of it. I love working for the Giants. I love, being a Giant, and I have nothing bad to say about it. I just like the challenge. I like the opportunity of what I'm doing now. It's not like things, you know, it's not like I get screwed over. It's not like I, you know, all the issues that come up with up and down with other teams. It's literally, I just wanted a chance to do something different. So.
Killer, you obviously with Cardiff, the whole expansion of their business moving into a new rink, that probably was a major selling point for you in terms of moving forward and purchasing the Cardiff Devils.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't the option, like the opportunity of the new rink next year, because it just wouldn't make sense. It's not feasible in the big blue tent, you know.
And who's the, give everyone a bit of an insight into, you know, who's your co-owner, this guy, a friend of yours from Calgary, what's his background and what have you, and is he a lifelong friend of yours, or?
He's actually really good buddies with my brother-in-law. He lives across the street from my sister and her husband and their family, and I've known him for 15 years maybe, and a really good guy. Very smart, very successful, and you know, for a while now, he said, if you ever see a team that you think, you know, provides a good opportunity, we'd be interested in getting involved and having you run it, and that's basically what it was. And you know, I always said, like, you know, there's teams always that are always looking to get new owners, but you know, it's not necessarily means there's an opportunity to, and they're not in it to make money, they just don't want to lose money, and but Cardiff with the new rink and stuff presents an opportunity to have a good time, go into a new venue, not lose your shirts at it, and it's an ideal scenario, to be honest with you. So,
Todd, you've obviously made the difficult decision to leave Belfast. Do you think you're leaving the organization in as good a state it's been in a right few years?
Yeah, I think so. I think under the trust, it's in a very solid organization, and you know, as far as compared to a lot of other teams, ownership isn't an issue, and doing things by the book isn't an issue, and all that kind of stuff. And I think we've got a good coach and head of hockey, and whatever role he's kind of developing into, you know, that I was aware of that a lot of people weren't, is Thornton. And I have every confidence in the world that he can deliver on everything that they need to do, and the team around, everyone in the staff, and everything's good. And the Odyssey Trust under Robert's leadership is, you know, second to none. And we all know the respect I have for Robert and the admiration. So I think they're in a good situation. I think, you know, it's very different when you leave that organization and look around, because it, you know, I keep talking about the challenge in Cardiff, but it's going to be challenging. And I'm, you know, it's, there's some things that I'm looking forward to and some things that I'm kind of worried about, you know? So,
well, on that, Todd, you know, were there any real concerns on real doubts taking over? Because last year was a real tumultuous year for the Cardiff Devils and their ownership, and there was a real friction between the both of the fans and Paul Regan. Was there any real worry about taking over an organization coming into that? You will be seen as sort of the great hope from the fans.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I get that, and I mean, it's a lot of pressure, but I don't mind that, because it's, you know, like we're not doing anything ridiculously clever at the Odyssey. All we're doing is making sure that our fans have a good time, newcomers have a good time, and you know, we try to welcome everyone that we can into the building. And I mean, there's people that are pissed off when we shoot sub cannons, and there's people that don't like pizzas getting delivered while they're trying to watch a goal get scored, and I get that. But in the same sense, that's what brings a lot of crowds in. And in Belfast, you're constantly selling to new fans and hoping that they become, you know, average fans that come once in a while, and hoping those sometime fans come to more and more games and eventually become season ticket holders. And in Cardiff, it's actually the reverse. They've been around for 27 years, I think, and they've got a very loyal fan base that are just entrenched with Devils, and they know all the business and they know everything about it, and they can tell you, you know, the goal scorer from 1986 and all that kind of stuff. And that's it's a very different model. It's harder to, maybe sell the way that, you know, that we kind of use to bring in new people. But it's also, you know, that you've got a loyal fan base. Like, I mean, they've been through the ringer the last couple of years at times, and they stuck with it, and that's shows they're pretty loyal. So, you know.
So what exactly then can the Cardiff fans expect under the Todd Kelman era?
I would say that the biggest thing is, you know, it's about the game night experience, and we're going to make sure that we deliver a fun and entertaining product, and we're not going to promise the world. We're not going to promise championship next season or anything like that, but we are going to compete. We're going to have a hardworking team, and we're going to make sure that it's entertaining from the moment you walk through the door, on the ice and off the ice. So
Todd, 10 months from now, first Sunday in April, Belfast Giants play Cardiff Devils in the playoff final. Your head says Cardiff, but your heart still says Belfast, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. Sorry, guys. My heart is ruled by my
wallet,
where my paycheck gets paid. So, you know what? I hate to say it, like it's a weird situation because, you know, I kept joking with everyone on the fan night. I was like, you know, it's great. You guys are, you know, people are saying, oh, I'm gonna really miss you, and I said, you're gonna miss me, and you say keep in touch, but. You know, I can come back once to Belfast and say hi to everyone and go around and go up to the box and see all you guys doing commentary and all that kind of stuff. And then the second time, I'm just an ex-employee that's annoyingly keeps showing up and talking about the glory days. So I know that, like, my era ended on Monday night, and I get that. And it's sad, but it's just part of the fun and history and everything that is the Belfast Giants. And I'm very glad that I was a part of it, and hopefully people see, people as a big part of it, you know? So, but yeah, it's been a hell of a ride. I've loved it. I've enjoyed every moment. I'm proud of what we accomplished and everything we won and all that kind of stuff. So
14 years, Todd, 7 with skates on and 7 with a suit on. What give us that one highlight, one moment as a Giant that really you always look back on, it makes you very proud?
On the ice, playoff win in 2003, definitely. And off the ice, it's a tough one, man. It's the playoffs with Thorts was probably the best feeling. The 2010 playoffs was probably the best feeling.
Well, I know
you can't beat winning the playoffs.
Well, absolutely, and I know, speaking on behalf of the other two lads as well, it's been a hell of a ride for 14 years. You've made us very proud. It's been a delight to know you both on and as a player and off the ice. And I'd like to say we wish you every luck at the Cardiff Devils. May you have a whole load of second places behind the Giants.
and every playoffs, you have a commitment until I leave Cardiff that we meet at said restaurant on a Friday night.
I don't know which restaurant you mean, but I'm sure we can find one.
Okay.
Cheers, Killer.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Okay.
That was Todd Kelman, former general manager of the Belfast Giants, now co-owner of the Cardiff Devils. I'll start with you, David. Your thoughts when you first heard that Todd was to move on and to make that next step into ownership within the Elite League?
I suppose when you take the emotion out of it, you know, that he's been a great servant of the club, you know, it's a great opportunity for the fella as a businessman, as someone who wants to take the next step in the hockey world. You know, he had nowhere else to go within the Belfast Giants upwards other than into the Odyssey realm. So it's a great opportunity for him. You know, he owes Belfast everything for what they've given over the last 15 years, but he owes Belfast nothing, if you know what I mean, for what he's paid us back. You know, it's... 7 years on the ice, 7 years off the ice, and he's already set about building the foundations of this great dynasty that Robert keeps talking about. You know, it's sad to see him go, but you know, already heard in that, you know, quick chat we've had with him, it's business, and he's already moved on, and you know, he wants the Cardiff Devils to win on the ice. I want the Belfast Giants to beat his team. So it's a thank you very, very much, and genuine thank you for his service as a player, for his great professionalism as a, you know, as a general manager. And I wrote an article last week where he said about how great an ambassador he'd been for the city of Belfast. And, you know, you can't do anything but wish the guy well. And that's all I got to say about that.
Coach, you've known Todd Kelman as a good friend for many years. You know, he's now making that step over into Cardiff, and he's proven himself to have the business acumen to be able to run a hockey club. And as we said in the interview, it's been a year of turmoil at the Cardiff Devils. Is Todd Kelman the man to take that job?
Oh, absolutely, Paddy. There's no question about that. In my opinion, no, Todd's an entrepreneur by nature. He's a risk taker, and you know, as he alluded to in the interview there, he's a guy who loves a challenge. You know, he's the type of guy, if you turn around and say you can't do that there, he would take up the challenge and prove that you can. You know, he's that type of he's always been that type of character. You know, and that breeds you know, that's infectious, that type of person, and you know, he brings people along with him, and the Cardiff Devils fans don't realise, or maybe they do, but they're going to realise, you know, firsthand how lucky they are over the next few years, because you know, the Cardiff Devils have had a difficult time in the last couple of years in their, you know, very long and at times successful history. But Todd's just, in my opinion, that the right guy to step in there and take up the Cardiff Devils mantra there, and you know, he will turn things around, Paddy. There's no question about that. And good luck to the fella. You know, as Davey said, he's been absolutely superb with the Giants for the last 14 years, both on and off the ice. And you know, superb player. You know, he was no world beater of a player, but he was a very, very good player. But you know, for me, really shone off the ice and really turned the club around whenever we were, you know, struggling to get people through the doors. Our match night entertainment was average at best, and he's just changed it all around, and he's going to do exactly the same in Cardiff. I've no question about that.
Davey, looking back at the organisation, the Belfast Giants organisation, he leaves behind, you brought it up yourself, what we think is a pretty strong situation for the Giants to be in. Steve Thornton has come in as head coach, but also has this wider role that we spoke to him in the last podcast about, of director of hockey operations. The Giants, I believe, are looking for a sort of a commercial director, or somebody to look after the commercial aspect. There's not going to be a general manager role being undertaken now that Todd Kelman's moved on. So how do the Giants move forward to this sort of new chapter?
I think the most important thing about any house that you're trying to build is that your foundations, it's a, you know, bit of a corny thing to say, that the foundations of Belfast Giants are rock solid. I mean, right from the top, with Robert for the trust, and then to Steve Thornton, who's now in charge, but the guys that he has in the office, you know, Bobby and Glover and Brooksy, who all care deeply and passionately about this club. And that's something that is very hard to buy in their business, that you've got guys that actually enjoy going to work every day. Those guys love it. And I'm sure the commercial guy that they get on board, they'll hope that he also has a passion for hockey or the Belfast Giants. And, you know, things are good. Todd stepping away is just giving, you know, be pragmatic about it. It's giving somebody else an opportunity. It's a door opening for somebody else. And who knows, it could be the absolute, you know, great thing for the organisation, that will bring somebody in, fresh blood, fresh ideas, and maybe just kick the whole thing forward another gear.
Coach, you stood on the stage on Monday night for that fan event and interviewed Todd and spoke to Steve Thornton and our new signing, which we'll talk about in a minute. The atmosphere in the room, was it sullen? Was it sad, or was it looking forward to a new chapter of the Giants?
I suppose it was quite strange, actually, but just the way it was set up. You know, it was inside the arena, as you said. There must have been the guts of, I don't know, it was very difficult to gauge because of how dark it actually was in there with the spotlights on us on the stage. I think we had about 800 odd people there, which was a fantastic turnout on a Monday evening. you know, from a Giants perspective or from a fan's perspective, you know, obviously I think a lot of people turned up and were sad at the thought of Todd going and what have you. But, you know, I think Davey's kind of encapsulated it perfectly there in terms of, you know, as a club, we are in such a strong position now with the Odyssey Trust as our owners, Robert Fitzpatrick, a man, an owner who does not settle for second best. He likes things done well. Sorry, take that back. He likes things done perfectly. And, you know, that is something that translates down the chain. And, you know, again, Davey alluded to it there. You look at Brooksy, Bobby, James Glover. These guys eat, sleep and drink the Belfast Giants. And that is absolutely massive. You know, I dare say if you spoke to any of those guys, they don't feel like they're going to work. You know, it's something that they enjoy. And that's a legacy that Todd has created. You know, and that's something that the new personal owner, Steve Thornton, Robert Fitzpatrick, and all of the guys in the backroom staff, you know, need to build upon. You know, it's all fine and well reaching a certain level, but there is still, Paddy, plenty of room for improvement within the Giants organization. In my opinion, we have set the gold standard in many, many ways, but there's always room for improvement. Paddy, and, you know, I think by the time that the Belfast Giants fans left the Odyssey Arena on Monday evening, I think they left a lot happier than what they turned up.
Sorry, coach, apologies there. I actually thought you were going to stop. I wasn't intending to butt in. Apologies there. Okay. I think something else that Todd has really developed over the last, there's always been volunteerism, if you like, within the Giants, but over the last number of years, the level and quality and consistency and helpfulness of the volunteer squad that the Belfast Giants have, and away from that, the team that the Giants live have, you know, Neil Whiteside's video the other night had 1,000 people in tears. You know,
another stunning video from Neil.
These guys care about the product that we're putting on, and, you know, Matt MacGyver, no more Cotton Eye Joe, more than happy. You know, we have just got, if you take away from the actual business side of things, all the pegs go into the right holes, and it's an exciting time to be a Belfast Giants. It should have been a celebration, and it was a celebration of what Todd Kelman has given the Belfast Giants, and it's time to shut the door and move on to the next page.
And just before we do that, and we will draw a line under the Todd Kelman era here, but it'd be amiss of me not to ask you two, Giants, starting with you, Davey, of your Todd Kelman highlight of his 14 years at the club.
Glad you went to Davey first.
All right, Coach, what about you? No, I'll go for Davey.
You know, I was a Todd Kelman fan as the hockey player. I'll take my highlight as, you know, on the ice. Probably his hat trick against the Panthers would be hard to look past.
Yeah.
Coach?
It's hard to look past that. You know, I can remember, you know, some of Todd's performances in the Odyssey Arena at times. And, you know, Todd has the most misguided nickname in the history of hockey. You know, Todd the Killer. And there was not one bit of killer instinct inside him in terms of fighting, which you would associate it with, obviously, ice hockey. But I tell you what, he had the killer instinct within him to win a game of hockey. I suppose the thing that always stood out for me defensively with Todd was his poke checks. You know, that guy, read 100%. The game superbly. He really did as a defenseman. He never got enough credit for how he read the game. You know, in terms of the actual specific highlights on the ice, it's hard to look past that hat-trick against the Nottingham Panthers. As we all know, Belfast Giants fans have a reasonable dislike, some more so than others, of the Nottingham franchise. And,
we'll be coming,
you
know, to that later.
That was a brilliant night. Yeah, absolutely, we will. You know, that was a brilliant night. Off the ice, listen, as I've already alluded to, Todd regenerated our product in terms of our match night entertainment. Who could forget that Christmas video that he drove and, you know, got Hoffman to stick on the Santa suit and all that type of stuff, which gained this worldwide recognition. You know, you remember Mariah Carey tweeting the link to it and all the rest. He did so many different wee small initiatives that grew and grew off the ice. And I have to say, just a fantastic servant to our organization. Davey says he's moved on now. And as you heard in his interview, you know, he's properly moved on now. He's a Cardiff Devil man. And, good luck to him, and it's time for the Belfast Giants organisation to move forward, and move forward we will.
I have to agree.
Do you know, Paddy, we never mentioned, you can go back to the off ice.
I think you're about to say what I was going to hold as my highlight. So before he you come in there, he
brought the soon-to-be Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins.
That is exactly my highlight. I was going to say
Belfast. He drove that. I'll leave that to you. Then.
Yeah, well, it's a case of the. You're absolutely right with regards to his poke checks. You know, his play on the ice was phenomenal. You only had to see the support that he had at his testimonial and the players that came back to see what a great team man he was as a player. Yeah, he won championships with the Belfast Giants, and it was an absolute superb player. But you're absolutely right, Davey. The one thing I was going to bring was the spearheading the drive to bring the Boston Bruins to the Odyssey Arena. The Boston Bruins who went on to become the Stanley Cup champions. The actual Boston Bruins of the NHL up against a team. Okay, it was a Belfast Giants select team, but let's be fair. They bore our crest upon their chest, and for us, it was the Belfast Giants, all except for Jade Galbraith, which we'll not mention.
Corey Nielsen
as well. That I'll never forget that night as long as I live. The fact that, you know, that my team from the Elite League, a team in my city, a team in the arena that I frequented and I've frequented to watch my hockey team, we're going up against the Boston Bruins. Absolutely phenomenal. And that is a credit to Todd as much as it's a credit to everybody who was involved to bring them there. But that must be a highlight with regard to his off-ice work. And I absolutely agree with you. That we'd have to draw a line underneath the Todd Kellman era. A lot of people were upset. A lot of people were worried.
There's nothing to be worried about.
Well, I was going to come to that in a second. But the fact is, Todd's moved on. He's taken this opportunity, which is what it is, to develop his career, to become the owner, not just the general manager, but be the guy that actually calls the shots. And fair play to him. And we wish him a modicum of success. Just not at the cost of our own team. Moving on, gentlemen. One other thing that occurred on Monday night was the re-signing of our goalkeeper, and it is once again Stephen Murphy between the pipes, Davey, and no better man for it.
Absolutely not. Best goal in the league last season. I'm hoping he'll be the best goal in the league this season. What is it now? 6 times in a row he's won the Phil Dragon Award. 8 times overall. You know. What was it last season? It's something like he won 8 games more than the team in second place. He lost 16 games less over the season. There's just some easy stats. Churn out. Stephen Murphy gives you the intangible of being the best goalie in the league, but also being British, which allows us an extra import. Should it be on the blue line or on the forwards? You know, I'm more than delighted to welcome Stephen Murphy back at Belfast, and long may he stay here.
Coach?
I think it's fair to say that whenever Murphy was announced on Monday evening, the place went absolutely mad. And Davey was there as well, and he could tell you. But you know, it was great to see, and I know he was really happy with that response. And you know, I think for the previous week or so, you know, really since Todd's news broke, people were kind of. You know, Murphy hasn't re-signed yet. Is he going to go to Brayhead? Where's he going? Is he going off to Europe? You know, it'll be a massive loss for us. And just to have Murph back between the pipes again is just absolutely superb. And as Davey says, it gives you that intangible of allowing you the extra import skater, out skater. And, you know, it's great to see him back. I thought Murphy was absolutely superb for us last year and kind of, you know, it's the second time he's won the league as a British goaltender. As we all know, the Mr. Sims over in Birmingham, or should we say Sheffield, wherever it is, he kind of frequents from time to time. You know, he's very quick to say that you'd never win the league with a British goalie. Well, Stephen Murphy's done it twice, and I'm absolutely delighted to see him back in Teal next season.
What does Murph bring as well as, you know, regards to, you look at the way, I'll screw you, Davey here, you look at the way that our days come together. The fact that we have a majority of, all but maybe one, of last season's defensive partnerships coming back onto the ice. Stephen Murphy now can just slot into that, and there's not much that Steve Thornton really has to do there.
No, Steve Thornton spoke very well the other night about, you know, partnerships and stuff, and sort of saying we're back to the drawing board. Players may have played well together last season, but he'll be looking at everything before he decides, you know, should it be Elfring and Brookwell. And I think what Stephen Murphy, as you've already said, he gives that solidity that he's been there. He's a very, very good talker to his D-men. He's, RD isn't a two-man rotation, it's a three-man rotation that just has Stephen Murphy on for 60 minutes at a time. You know, he's just high, high quality. He can win games on his own. He can steal you games. And bar the end of the season when the guy wasn't well and the trophies were up for grabs, I'd hold Stephen Murphy with no responsibility, that especially the playoff final win was a Drew Fada. He scored from the slot. There was very, very tired plays by two or three D-men that just left the guy open in the slot. And he's a free, I think it was, he's left-handed, free wrister in the top corner of the net from 10 feet. You know, you can't hold your goalie responsible for that. He was the top goalie in the playoffs. And, you know, he's great to have back. And I'm delighted. And as coach has already said, there's guts of 1,000 people. Todd Kelman got a sort of 50% standing ovation when he came out on the set. There was 1,000 people on their feet, banging their feet on the ground when Stephen Murphy came out. He got a tremendous reception.
Yeah, an enjoyable one to announce there, coach.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It really was. And, you know, as I said, you know, there was an element of the fan base were a bit worried about the whole Murphy situation. But whenever he was announced, as Davey alludes to there, my goodness, a place went absolutely mad. It was a wee bit like, it actually reminded me of the W5 event at the end of the season whenever Thornton was announced that night. And Thornton or Killer announced that Calvin Elfring was back. And the place that night, the roof honestly nearly came off the building. And it just reminded me of that again. When Murph came out, it really was a rapturous reception for him. And I know from whenever he came up onto the stage, sat alongside me, he said that was fantastic. You know, so, you know, he appreciates it, as do all the players. I think another thing to mention, which I thought was brilliant, to see all the Belfast Giants who are still here. They were all present on Monday night. Kevin Surratt, Mark Garside, Shieldsy arrived a bit later on and what have you. Jeff Mason was there. My goodness, like half the team were there. Anyone that was in the country was present. I think Elfring was out of the country for a few days in Europe. But, you know, listen, it was great to see so many of the Belfast Giants players there. And it was just, I thought it was an excellent night, run really well by the organisation again. And I think everybody that played a part did it very, very well. I have to say, I thought the post main event in McCool's was superb. We went up into McCool's afterwards for a Q&A and Steve Thornton, Robert Fitzpatrick, Mr. McGimsey joined us on stage, and I thought that Davey would tell you himself, the bar was absolutely packed, and that's the kind of forum that the fans enjoy. And I suppose, like Robert said to me afterwards, you know, he absolutely loved that part of it as well, because the fans get the opportunity to properly interact, ask those pertinent questions that they want, and it just worked really, really well the whole night, Paddy.
It was a fantastic re-signing for the Belfast Giants, and from that high, gentlemen, I'm going to have to broach this topic. It's on the agenda. Those who have listened to the podcast, all three of yous, you hear it when I say that, coach. Know that last season we had many superlatives, and we had more or less what was generally referred to as a favourite player, a darling of the podcast, and that was Mr. Christopher Higgins. Now, I went to the cinema last week and I saw X-Men Days of Future Past. Fantastic film, I really recommend it. When I came out of that, I basically switched on my phone and my phone nearly exploded. For the simple reason that I'm really regretful to announce that Christopher Higgins has now joined the Nottingham Panthers. David.
Yes, Paddy.
Your thoughts.
Do you want to form a question, or do you just want?
I'm just letting you loose. Go for
You're lining them up like I lined them up on Monday night in McCool's.
Yeah,
I got lined up on McCool's on Monday night, and I'm not sure that the three gentlemen that were sitting beside me on the Westlife stools, or the couple hundred people that were in the bar, were just ready for what was going to come.
You didn't miss and hit the wall, did you, mate?
Chris Higgins was a great servant of the Belfast Giants for what? 8 months? 7 months? He's moved on to Nottingham Panthers, which for me, you just don't do. I thought about it, and, you know, I felt betrayed. And I thought maybe that was a bit harsh. So look, betrayal up on the internet. It says, betrayal is the breaking of a violation of a presumptive contract, a trust or confidence that produces moral or psychological conflict within a relationship amongst individuals or between organisations. So I think it's fair to say, Chris Higgins, you betrayed me and our organisation. And for that, I shall never forgive you. We give you the fantastic nickname of the Belfast Datsuk last season. And I told you on Twitter that you think you got a good nickname when you were here and you were our darling. Wait till you hear what you get next season, pal. You went away and you said you were homesick. You were going back to America because you couldn't stand being so far away from your dog and stuff. But all the pictures of Benjamin Franklin, that the Nottingham Panthers have offered you, have obviously teased you back across the water. So I hope you're very happy in England, because the team suits you down to the ground.
I feel like we should move on. Absolutely. Well, coach.
I suppose I can see the more pragmatic side of it. I agree with Davey sentiments. Like, for me, as a Belfast Giants man for the last 14 years of my life, there's just one club as a Belfast. And now, we've had it before, Rod Stevens. Rod Stevens went to the Panthers as well, if you remember back in the day. But
not directly.
Yeah, not directly, that's correct. But Chrissy Higgins has. The Belfast Datsuk has deserted us and moved to our arch enemy. It's sacrilege for a Belfast Giants fan to see one of our own to head off to the Panthers. And I have to say, it disappointed me greatly. But looking at it, you know, you've heard Todd Kelman earlier on there, you know, all of us, you know, inside a week, he's a Cardiff Devil man. He wants Cardiff Devils to do well. This is a business. This is these guys' careers. And if the Nottingham Panthers are able to offer somebody a more lucrative contract, at the end of the day, if we were in employment and somebody came along and offered us X more, you know, and reasonably substantially more, you can, once you take the raw emotion out of it, understand the move. And also, let's not forget he's having the opportunity to play in the Champions League as well. I'm going to throw a bold prediction out here. I don't think Chris Higgins will be with the Nottingham Panthers come January or February.
It's the only way he sanitizes for me. And you're saying about, you know, getting extra money for doing the same job. I wonder how much money John O'Bullard would have to offer me to go lick cat's whiskers.
Well, it's a very, very difficult. I have to say, I was livid. I'll not beat him in the bush here. It's absolutely. Joanna picked me up from the cinema and she says, "Was the film not good?" I went, "No, the film was brilliant. There's something else that's annoying me." The move there, okay. The fact is that Christopher, we're not going to rewrite history here. Christopher Higgins was a fantastic player for the Belfast Giants. The guy was highlight reel. Night in, night out, the tricks, the flicks, the plays, and we absolutely adored the game that he played for us. And I am not going to gloss over that. He's not suddenly rubbish because he's joined the Nottingham Panthers. They've picked up a good player there, but they need to find the players to play alongside him, because I think that line complemented Chris Higgins as well. When you look at the statistics, you find that Chevry and Surrett outshot Higgins. Higgins was okay, was a setup man, but they also, both those guys, I believe, had more assists than Chris Higgins did. So for all the highlight reel stuff, if they build the right line around Chris Higgins, they're going to have a great player there. If they can't find that chemistry, Chris Higgins is going to be a lone light in the middle of a dud line. And, you know, that's Corey Nielsen's job. He's picked up the player that had K-Wall unlocked, you know, and the only way that he could get around of, you know, not happening again is to pick him up so he doesn't have to face K-Wall again. Good luck to the guy. No, actually, no, not good luck to the guy. Not at all. You know, I look forward to throwing a few pelters myself, because loyalty is a very strange thing in sport, isn't it? Because he was only with us for a number of months, but we grew an emotional attachment to him as a player. So when he moves on, he's moved from team to team to team to team all his career. So, but for us, he's left our team and he's joined a team that we have a distinct disdain for. Okay, Nottingham Panthers fans will go, "We don't really care about you." That doesn't bother me. We don't like the Nottingham Panthers. Whether that's reciprocated or not, that's inconsequential. It's our emotional response to how this player's moved from our team to the Panthers. And we're not happy about it. Not in any shape, form, or fashion. And I can't wait to voice my opinions when the disgust on my face is shown when I see Higgins 68 in black and gold. And, you know, angry. Anyway. Anyway. I think, but I do agree with the coach. I think the Champions Hockey League was a big draw for him. I think it must have been.
It has to be for a lot of players signing in Nottingham this season. You know, I think we discussed this previously in the previous off-season podcast about the whole Champions League scenario and what have you. And also, I'm not sure if you have it on the agenda. There's some good news that came out on Monday night was that we're entering the Continental Cup next season. But you know, for a player to be playing in the Champions League, it's a massive draw. And he's again, taking the emotion out of it, taking the bitterness as a fan of the Belfast Giants towards the Nottingham Panthers out of it. The Panthers are an excellent organisation and they're run very well and they've got a great setup there. Chris Higgins is going to go in, he'll enjoy it, no question about that. But as I say, I just have a sneaky feeling that he's putting himself in the shop window for something bigger, and it would not surprise me in the slightest if he either went home or if he went on to something bigger in Europe come January or February.
Let me play devil's advocate and I'll throw this to you, Davey. In the last couple of months, since the season has ended, the Belfast Giants have lost their coach, they've lost their general manager, and they've lost one of their top players, and it's the two of which have went to elsewhere within this league. Now, for all the whining and all the stuff that went on and then wailing and gnashing of teeth when Todd Kelman moved on, there were elements of people who were worried who looked at these three departures as sort of an indication that the Belfast Giants have problems. Is there any worry there?
We replaced Paul Leary with Steve Thornton, a very good coach, replaced by a very, very good coach, a guy with a winning history in the UK. He's won trophy after trophy. Got no concerns over the coaching because, you know, he's proved in the past his credentials. He's got nothing to prove to Belfast Giants fans, and he'll come this season and he'll go again and he will stun people with the results that he pulls out this season. Todd Kelman going to Cardiff. We've already talked about the strength of the organisation. You know, the foundations are there. There shouldn't be anything to worry about. If anything, Steve Thornton, you know, was already a succession plan. Robert talked about it at the fan event. It's not a secret. They always knew Todd was going to move on. Just came sooner than they expected, and they didn't expect it to be another organisation. So, you know, it's no big surprise and no biggie. And, you know, Chris Higgins, there's 1,000 kids out there as good as you, so I'm not a bit worried about Chris Higgins. I hope he's got his head up when he's coming across the blue line for the first time at the Odyssey.
Coach, the staying on that question, you know, can you understand people's concern? Because, you know, the three of us, let's not beat around the bush on this, the three of us sometimes have a little bit of a privileged position that we, you know, we can see a wider picture at times, so maybe we're able to talk about it knowing that the organization is in a strong position. However, people looking in, maybe from other teams, maybe people who are maybe casual fans of the Belfast Giants or whatever, see those three departures and maybe gain a bit of skepticism, a bit of worry. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I can. What I would say in reply to that would be kind of similar to what Davey said. You know, Paul Hiddy went, and I think that was a wee bit more of us as opposed to him moving Hiddy on. And we have replaced him with Steve Thornton. And Steve genuinely is one of these guys that, first and foremost, he's a player's coach. Todd has gone on record many times saying he's the best recruiter that he's ever worked with. Now, we always thought that Doug Christensen was a pretty good recruiter. Steve Thornton is superb. Steve Thornton has a couple of players lined up, and I am sure that they are top-end players for this organisation. He has a lot of top contacts around the league. Chris Higgins going off to Nottingham. Davey again said there are hundreds of Chris Higgins out there. It's just finding another one. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if Steve Thornton lined up a better replacement for Chris Higgins. And the Todd Kelman thing, that's more of a business thing. Todd moving on, that was a personal decision by Todd. And, you know, it's no major secret that Todd is that type of guy. You know, Todd's been in that general manager role now for 7 years. He's been with the Belfast Giants 14 in total. You know, maybe the old 7 year itch was creeping in there. And maybe it was just time for Todd to move on to pastures new and for him to have his own personal, a new personal challenge. But, you know, as we talked about at the top of the show there, Paddy, gives another person an opportunity to come in and kind of reinvent the wheel. That's incorrect. Bring new ideas, bring fresh ideas. And this club, honestly, with Robert Fitzpatrick at the top there, and the Odyssey Trust as owners, there is absolutely nothing for any Belfast Giant fan to be worrying about in this slightest. Trust me on that. And from a, you know, looking around the league, I'm sure some skeptical fans will look at it and think Paul Eadie's gone, Chris Higgins is gone, Kelman's gone. But honestly, we have replacements, you know, there'll be replacements lined up for Chris Higgins in there. And with the Odyssey Trust at the head of the ship, we will be absolutely fine.
And fair play to Todd Kelman. He was absolutely right. Steve Thornton was the last Belfast Giants coach that he ever had to recruit. Moving on. Earlier this evening, I got to chat with my good friend, Dave Grant, the Sheffield Steelers fan, known to many fans across the UK hockey world. Dave runs the UK Forum All-Stars charity event. This has been going on for quite a few years now. And it's taking place again this year at Ice Sheffield between the 26th and the 28th of July. And I began chatting to Dave by asking him how the UK Forum All-Stars came about.
The UK Forum All-Stars started back in 2008. Myself and my co-colleague, Gareth Hubbard, put on a one-off game with skills the day after. In essence, it was an invite to people around the UK to take part. That year, we had 33 players take part. Pretty successful for the numbers. That year, we raised 3,600, give or take. Compared to what it's got to this year, as we have over 150 people taking part.
Wow.
And already we are at the £13,000 mark.
Incredible.
So it's just bearing in mind the £13,000 mark, there's no sponsorship money, no auction money, no events money whatsoever. That's pure fundraising from people taking part.
That's fantastic. So it's just growing and growing year on year. And this year, in a matter of weeks' time, it's taking place at Ice Sheffield. It's you've been there for a few years now. You also had it in Cardiff as well.
We would have had it at Cardiff this year, but obviously, given the expansion of the event, as it stands now, Cardiff isn't an ideal venue as it stands now with a big blue tent. We are hopeful, for next year to take it to the new arena. That's the hope. We will see what we can do. We may think about it after this one's finished. We tend to do what do we do for next year before this year's finished, but no, we've had to stay this year because of obviously them reasons, but we're hoping next year to move it around. Cause we feel it's one of the plus points of the event. It's not stuck in one venue. It goes around, you know, admittedly it's only gone around England and Wales. But it goes to different parts of the UK. So people in the north get to obviously come down to Sheffield, whereas in the south, more people from, you know, the southern regions of hockey watchers get the chance to come across.
Yeah.
So it kind of allows people the chance to see it.
So who takes part? What sort of players do you have? Do you have actual, you know, elite league players taking part? Do you have A&L players?
In the past, we've had two players who have played elite league. We've had a few EPL players, a lot of, as it were, E&L now, NINL level players, and a lot of good rec players. And then the likes of myself and others who only play once a year. But it's their weekend and they enjoy it. And the beauty of it is, the players with the skill set and the experience, they don't take the mick.
Yeah.
They don't play it down, but they make sure that those that they know are of a different skill level, they can enjoy it as well and get them involved in the weekend. So it's a cross range of skills. I mean, this year, again, we have people from Scotland. We have Northern Ireland representation. and from Wales and the South, Central and Northern England. So we do cover, pretty much all parts of the hockey watching UK, which adds that UK feel to it. Whereas before we've had just a few from Wales and obviously England and that, we don't have many from Scotland and Northern Ireland, but now we have them. It just adds that flavour to the event, which, you know, we all enjoy.
Fantastic. One of the brilliant aspects to it as well is the fact that each team is sponsored, or say sponsors, named after a various charity. That's all about gaining money for that charity.
It is. I mean, when we went to four teams, that's when we decided, and that was in 2010, each team would be named after a specific charity. And what we've been able to do this year is we've been able to get an event sponsorship and team sponsors, which we'll be announcing in the next 2 or 3 weeks, who are prepared to get on board and understand what the team's about and help that, you know, help the team raise a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
So like this year, you know, we've got obviously Breast Cancer Care Dreams Come True. We have Autism Plus, Blue Cross, the hopeful winner of the 2040 event, the British Heart Foundation. Not because I'm playing for him. Help for Heroes, Prostate Cancer Care, and the local charity, the Sheffield Children's Hospital. All 8 charities are fantastic causes, and each player has been affected by one, if not more, of them charities. Mm. And I think that's one of the main sells of it, because these are not, you know, charities which people don't get to be affected. They affect everybody. So that's why people really give the effort in. I mean, you see people's fundraising efforts for months, and it's because they've been affected in some way by it. So, you know, we're looking forward to clashing horns with them again on the ice in a few weeks' time. I think it's about 4 weeks in a couple of days.
It is. One of the great things about it as well is that friendly competition. It is, they say, some guys only maybe play once a year, and the guys that have the experience that play all the time. But you do have that bit of banter, and the whole weekend itself is just a self-contained festival of hockey and fans. It's a real fun weekend.
It's been described by some as it's the playoffs without the stress. I'm not sure myself personally, but you know, on the ice level, you know, we all want to win that trophy. You know, the last one standing as well, but we all know that there's only one real winner from it all, and they are the charities themselves.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there was a guy who I know played for Breast Cancer last year, who is not the best player, but to see he'd get the chance to lift some silverware, his face, you know, gleamed, and you kind of think this is all worth it. You know, you've got the huge benefit of someone who can't play the game well, but gives his all and raises money for charity and takes a little bit from it. And it's a little bit that adds to the festival feel about it, alongside the stuff that happens away from the arena.
Maybe a drink or two taken. The
possibly can't guarantee it.
That takes place from, is it Friday the 25th of July until?
Yeah, it starts the Friday the 25th of July. We have an event evening that we will we'll be confirming in the next 72 hours or so. We have other events on the Saturday and the Sunday. The Friday night also is the auction that we have. I mean, we're lucky that we have people involved who are able to get some, you know, really good prizes, and we're talking cricket tickets, football tickets, other items of memorabilia, who, you know, may make a fair few pennies that all goes back into the pot to go to the charities.
Fantastic. People want to get in touch with you and find out more about it. You got a website or Twitter address and stuff like
that? We kind of pretty locked on the social media aspect. The website's www.ukfallstars.co.uk. To search for us on Twitter is at UKFAllStars. And we're also on Facebook, an official UK Forums All-Star page. So all our information we put on there. And, you know, we've got a little bit of an army of people that, you know, help out, spread the word. So if you're on the social media for any hockey outlets, you're hopefully in the next few weeks, you'll see more details as for the weekend. To go to the weekend itself, at Sheffield, we put a little levy on. It's £5 for the weekend for adults, £3 a day for adults, but for children, it's a nominal donation. You know, last year we had a fair few crowd on the Saturday and Sunday, and we would hope to see more in the seats.
It's fantastic. It's a fantastic event for all the fans to partner. Really hope it goes well. It'd be a miss not for me to ask you about the Sheffield Steelers while you're on, Dave, being a big fan of the team as you are, and it's a bit of a change to the organisation this year. With forget about how last season ended. I've already
how did last season finish, Paddy?
I've already forgotten. And but
was it some guy called Drew?
No.
Overtime?
No, don't recall. Yeah, but Steve? But I believe the upshot from that was that Jerry Lamb's got a contract now to as the head coach of the Sheffield Steelers, and there's been a few changes, and not so much that you've got a few players in, most notably Rod Sarich back amongst the fold, and you've got Gord Baldwin, Robert Dowd all in there, but some of the departures have pricked up a few ears and a few around the elite league, not least Steve Gertsen heading off to the Coventry Blaze. What have you thought of the off season of the Sheffield Steelers so far?
Compared to previous years, it's quiet. Having said that, on the player front, the players come and go. I mean, we've had players away. I think, example, how do we ever replace Rick Brabant? And then we replaced him the next year or year after with a guy called Mike Prom.
Mm-hmm.
So, as great as these players are, and they were great players, Steve Gerson was a fantastic leader. Drew, gave that physicality in defence,
mm-hmm.
and I did have a good shot on him, on the point. But, you look at Jared's recruitment in Cardiff, he finds a few good players.
Yeah.
For what he had at Cardiff. So, hopefully he does the same at Sheffield. He earned that contract. I think it's fair to say, would he have got it had they not won the playoffs? I'm not sure. But he did it. He took a team that weren't expected to win the playoffs, took them to win it. So he's got the chance to now make his mark on his team. A lot of fans are more happy because he knows what Steelers hockey is about, whereas unfortunately Doug didn't seem to, grasp it or understand it or whatever reason. So, hopefully, Jared will come through for some names and we think good recruitment and he continues as he were in Cardiff. But as I say, no team wins a title or anything on paper.
Mm.
September's a long way away.
Yeah, it was last season that it was, the Sheffield Steelers were put down as maybe outright favourites for the league and that didn't happen, but you did finish with that playoff trophy. And it seems that, if Jared Adams could put the right team on ice and show that recruitment and find those Mac Faulkners or the John Pelés and of this world to come into the Sheffield Steelers, that you'll have a fair chance next season.
Yeah, and if you look at the players we've got in so far, I mean, me personally, the only risk is Sarich. It could be a good risk, a year off with his injuries, gives him a chance his body to heal. Apparently he's been in the gym since February. Once he gets his match fitness back, who knows? As I say, with all teams, a couple of signings here and there that makes a difference. If Jared gets that player, and as you said yourself, Faulkner, Pelé, 40-goal scorer, who knows? But Nottingham will be strong with their Champions League participation. Your guys will be strong in Belfast. And I get a feeling Coventry might be in it this year. With signing Gertsen, a bit of heartbeat about him. I think that's what they liked badly last year, a bit of heartbeat. So I think they could be the team to keep an eye on. I'm not going to lie. I hope we're still top of the table when it comes to the last orders. But so if it's as close as last season, then it'll be good because I thought last season was probably one of the better seasons of elite league hockey across the board.
I fully agree. If you're fully agree, but that's a long way away. And before that, we have the UK Forum All Stars taking place in Sheffield on the 26th of July. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for helping us promote the event.
Dave there, top lad, and a fantastic event, Davey, and one that, should get a great support from across the UK hockey world.
It's been going for a few years now, and, big Dave Steeler as he was when he first started it, it's a fantastic servant to this cause, and, him and his dad, never forget his dad, won, a great double act that they were, sadly gone now, but big Dave carrying on, Owen would be so proud of what Dave's doing here, and really, really giving back in thousands and thousands every year. And apart from take the charity aspect out of it, bringing together a pile of hockey fans in the summer for a great weekend of sport, and it's just credit to the guy for doing what he does.
Giants have their own representative in Aaron Stewart, who's been taking part in this for an hour. I think he was part of it last year as well. You can get him at Aaron Stewart 64 on Twitter, and he's taken a lot of sponsorship there. Coach, the fact that this is a hockey event, it's 100 odd people involved, and you bring it in thousands of pounds for charity. It's superb.
Oh, man, it's absolutely fantastic. And I had the pleasure of meeting Big Dave at the playoffs for the first time. Amazingly, I've been going to the playoffs for 14 years. And that was the first time I had the pleasure of meeting him just there a couple of months ago. And a nicer big guy you would never wish to meet. An absolute gent of a guy, and absolute fair play to him for doing what he does and helping driving that forward. Anything that's helping raise money for charity gets my back. And I'm sad that I'll be playing cricket and wouldn't be able to fly over and attend that, you know. But certainly at some stage, once I hang up the cricket boots, I'll be going over and lending my support, no question about that.
The 26th to 20th of July at Ice Sheffield, as Dave said in the interview, tickets for the weekend are £5. It all goes to the charity. Or go to the website www.ukfallstars.co.uk or ukfallstars.co.uk. .co.uk, and having watched Gary Jackson play it a couple of years ago, UK Fall Stars is exactly the name it should be. Sorry, Jacko. Gents, let's look around the league. Just a few little bits and pieces that have been taking place. Look at the Panthers, two big signings for them. Bruce Graham back coach and David Clark as well.
Oh, Bruce Graham was one of my favourite players, I have to say, from that treble winning Nottingham Panthers team. Him and David Ling were real standout forwards for me throughout the course of that successful season for the Panthers. He had a difficult start with the Panthers. If you remember, come October, November time, a lot of the Panthers fans wanted Bruce Graham sent home, but he really came into a league of his own in the final stages of the second half, really, of that season. You know, he was brilliant, and I mean brilliant on the power play. Very difficult to dispossess, had a long reach. Guys were trying to jump in, and he was just able to nip the puck away and set up plays. Him and Ling were absolutely superb. David Clark, you know, with wax lyrical about Clark on a million occasions. You know, that guy on the power play is absolutely lethal. He's got one of the most bullets for shots. You know, we talk about Sandrock, we talk about Elfring. David Clark has an absolute bullet for a shot as well. Always dangerous. Always seems to come up with important goals for the Panthers, especially against the Belfast Giants over the years. So Corey's added two very good players back into the mix again for the Nottingham Panthers.
Davey, the Panthers with this Champions League of Hockey taking place quite soon and before the actual Elite League, or we assume before the Elite League season begins, because we haven't had the fixture list yet. They've 13 players signed up already. Quite a few new names. They're having to get their players through the door quickly. That's going to benefit them come the actual regular season, isn't it?
Well, you would imagine so. It just depends on what way the squad formation takes, and that they'll not be able to carry the same number of players that they have in the Champions League straight back into the Elite League. You know, they'll have a slightly larger roster, certainly more import slots for the Champions League. But, you know, yeah, they're going to get a bit of extra training in. They'll have a few weeks more under their belt. They should be able to hit the ice running, so to speak, hit the ice skating. You know, it is going to be an advantage to them. Yeah, it's another thing that wasn't mentioned within our own chat is that we're going to be in Europe ourselves. So hopefully, you know, that also will affect our recruitment process over the next few weeks. But yeah, coach has talked about, you know, David Clark, they are fantastic. Apart from his shot, his work ethic is just second to none around this league. He's a fantastic example to young pros coming through. And as a British guy, you know, bringing those young guys up. And Bruce Graham, as coach said, there are 14 goals in the power play the other season with David Ling. He was sensational. He stood in that sort of same slot that Craig Peacock likes to find his way into. And he certainly knew where the back of the net was. So they've recruited two very good players there in the last week.
Well, sound the wax lyrical klaxon. One of coach's favourite players is available. Thomas Kirke will not be returning to the Cardiff Devils, and therefore his name and his number and his shirt is up for grabs. Coach, let me guess. I guess you'd like him in a Giants shirt.
No, I most definitely would. I have to say he was a player that stood out for me every single time I saw the Cardiff Devils last year. First game that I actually saw them, I think, was whenever I was over covering one of the games with Premier against the Panthers. And he got a hat-trick that night against Nottingham. And he was absolutely superb. He ran the game from start to finish. And the Panthers just couldn't touch him at all. He was absolutely superb. And, you know, I'm not surprised to see him not back in Cardiff. You know, I believe he was on a fairly hefty contract there. So maybe Keller has already cracked the three-lane whip and decided to put funds elsewhere on that front. But, you know, from a Giants perspective, if we could afford him, my goodness, I'd love to have Thomas Kerga in tail. Superb player.
The Sheffield Steelers, they've been pretty quiet on signings. I think they were more notable for their departures rather than their signings. They've got about 7, 8, 9 players, including Rod Sarich, back in their number. Of course, it's only the middle of June, but what are your take on this, on the Steelers so far?
I thought that today's statement was a little bit crass, but unsurprising, yeah. You know, from the Sheffield Steelers, that they seem to be an organisation that wants to put media out there, and sometimes just for the sake of saying something. That was, you know, it was an article that I find a bit cringe to read, because Gertsen was a fantastic servant of the club. Okay, if he's going to move on, that's fine, but put a better spin on it than, you know, we imagined he was going to be too expensive. You know, it was a bit cringeworthy.
Yeah, I think just to clarify, it was in the Sheffield Star that that Tony Smith, who, you know, never says anything out of place, was stated that the fact that, you know, they believed that his wage demands would be too high, or they assumed his wage demands would be too high. They didn't, so seemingly didn't enter any sort of negotiations, just let their captain go. Likewise, they said they couldn't sign him based on reputation or current form, which I find an absolutely stunning statement to make. It's like, oh yeah, your reputation's really good and your current form, you're one of the best people in that position in the league, but I'm sorry, we can't actually, you know, take that as read. Nonsense. Sorry, Davey.
Well, they've signed a good core of British players, as they always do. Hewitt, Phillips, you know, Robert Dowd's back, Mark Thomas, all good players. They've built around their goalie again. Frank Doyle's going to be one of the best goalies in the league again. And Conan Baldwin on D. They've got the good beginnings of a good roster there. But obviously, Jared Adams' first season in complete sole charge. He's just taking his time. He probably has a few players either signed or very close to signing. And there'll be announcements coming over the next few weeks. I've no doubt about that.
Coach Sheffield?
Yeah, they've been a bit slow, no question about that. And, you know, you can kind of see some bit of discontentment from the fan base over in South Yorkshire there about how long it's taken G to kind of put together a team. But I think Davey summed it up perfectly there. He's got a Brit core already signed up. He's got his goaltender signed up. And I thought Frank Doyle was absolutely superb. And I mean, superb in the last kind of 6-8 weeks of last season. And, you know, if he starts the season off like he finished it, Sheffield could be on to a real winner. But listen, you know, we had this with Doug previously. Doug was always very, very patient in waiting for the right player and what have you to sign up. And Jared Adams is obviously taking his time, but you can be absolutely rest assured that all the coaches in the Elite League will be scouring all the agents' lists, and they'll be on the phone 24/7 trying to find the right player, the right fit for their club. And no doubt that Jared Adams will, and the Sheffield Steelers will have something to announce over the next week, couple of weeks, with a couple of more players.
And having talked about one of your favourite players in the league, Coach, it's only fair I turn to Davey and say that Ned Lukasiewicz is back with the Five Flyers. And that's a great coup for them.
Do you know, that big guy, Lukasiewicz, didn't have a particularly great resume when he came to the Elite League, and he lit it up for the Five Flyers, and he had 44 points in 34 games where he had the playoffs, and he's 6 foot, 200 pounds. He's got great, great hands for such a big guy. And, you know, Coach says he had like Kirk in Belfast. I had like a Lukasiewicz type player in Belfast. I think, you know, obviously it's only 28, and it's a great, great signing for the Five Flyers. And it's good to see that the Scottish teams, I know Coach isn't like all that bothered, but it's good to see the Scottish teams getting like really, really high quality players in early in the off season.
And for anybody out there keeping count, that's 4 yawns, I think, from Neil, the Coach Russell, in the course of this podcast so far.
It's been a long day.
One other point I want to bring up, gents, is coming back to that Champions Hockey League, is the Premier Sports have got coverage of it. I believe they're doing wide range coverage, including all 6 games involving the Nottingham Panthers. It's great for the Premier Sports, but it's great for hockey in Europe as well, and that we'll be able to watch these games, Coach.
Absolutely. You know, speaking to Aaron Murphy there just at the back end of last week, and he was absolutely ecstatic that Premier Sports had secured the Champions Hockey League for next season. And, you know, the Premier did a superb job last year. Room for improvement, absolutely, with their Elite League coverage. But you know what? I thought it was excellent. And they will continue to improve. One thing about them, you know, certainly from what Murph said, they have a lot of really exciting things coming up this season, and hope a lot of the fan base across the Elite League get behind Premier, because, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is and bringing these fantastic events onto the TV.
I get a feeling if I ask Davey this question, he's going to say, I don't care because the Panthers are involved.
Oh, it's great for the TV. it's great. It's great exposure for the league, and it's great for anyone that wants a bit of extra hockey.
Yeah.
Murph has worked so many great moves. The guy's a bit of a living legend amongst us. You know, he's done really well to pursue and up at the another level. You know, getting the league and getting the playoffs, and then getting the GB qualifiers was fantastic. World Championships, and now the Champions Hockey League, and it would be great. And it would have been fantastic had the Giants, you know, had been a bit more all over it if the Giants had been in it. You know, but as you say, they're not. So.
Well, as I've stressed, it is the middle of June, so these rosters are just coming together, but I think it's over the next month that you're going to see more and more players coming into the Elite League. It's going to be very interesting, especially with our own Belfast Giants, to see what players Steve Thornton has out there, because he brought some great players to Belfast Giants the first time around. You know, you look at the Paul Dennis's and the likes of that, you know, really, really good players. It'd be interesting to see, given the core that's already in place and the legacy from the likes of Todd Kellerman and those players coming back, how Steve Thornton can build on that and then see what other teams have to offer also. What we'll do now is we'll move on. I'll turn to yourself, David, some Twitter questions.
Yeah, we'll start with WeFell 56. Interesting news from Boston that Sean Thornton is now available. Would you sign him on rot rule? Do you think he could do with the Giants? Bit of a fantasy hockey question, but I'll send that to coach first.
Sean Thornton, let's put this in simplistic terms. Sean Thornton is in the NHL a fourth line grinder. Paul Bissonnette is also a fourth line grinder in the NHL. When Paul Bissonnette came and played for the Cardiff Devils for whatever it was, 15, 20 games, he shot 2 points a game on average. Now, Sean Thornton, in my opinion, is most definitely a better player than Paul Bissonnette. So if Sean Thornton was to drop all the way from the NHL down to the Elite League, in my opinion, he would be one of the best players in the league. And I'll tell you something else. If he ever did appear in Belfast, we would have one of the toughest players to play the game. I absolutely love Sean Thornton. I love everything that he stands for. I love the way in which he plays a game of hockey. He's let himself down a couple of occasions. No question about that. None more so than one game last season. But I would love Sean Thornton in Belfast.
Pally?
The first part of the question was, would you have Sean Thornton in Belfast? I don't think I need to answer that. Absolutely. What role would he have? You're talking about a guy who has so much NHL experience dropping straight from the NHL to the Elite League. Personally, I can't see it happen. Stranger things have happened. What role would he have? He'd have a role where he'd absolutely dominate. Probably, do you know what? I actually see him as a second line player, but he's a role that he'd probably dominate the Elite League with. You know, he's got that physical presence on the ice. There'd be very few players who could stand up to him, but he will just churn out an incredible amount of points. It's just a pity for him that he'd probably be the second best S. Thornton to ever play for the Giants.
Boys, you love Wild Chalky, don't you? The good answers, boys. We'll move on to our good friend, the King of the Drummers, Al McNeice, has a question here. Can you have a coach who is also a GM? Will that work?
I'll take that. I don't think we have to even worry about that. It has worked in previous, you know, it has worked at times, not just in the Elite League, but in wider hockey. Even if I think towards former Belfast Giants netminder Derek Wilkinson and his role that he took on the Charlotte Checkers as both coach and general manager, and it worked well for him. It can work. You don't really want to have that. You don't want to have the Jackie Moon who does it all. You know, you want to have defined rules so you can concentrate on those rules. You know, I don't think we have to worry about that with regards to Steve Thornton and being the coach and the general manager, because I don't believe that general manager role as it was with Todd Kellerman will exist moving forward. But could it work? Yeah, absolutely, it could.
Coach?
Yeah, I think Paddy's hit the nail on the head there. I think you'll probably find that, you know, Todd's role, as it were, the all-encompassing Jackie Moon type role, will be kind of split off, and Steve will be in charge of all things hockey, but he'll have an input as well into the operational side of the club, and certainly things like match night entertainment and things like that. But his primary focus will be, and will always be, for as long as Robert Fitzpatrick wants it, for Steve to concentrate on all things hockey. You know, and if you break it down, you know, I think some of the fans maybe sometimes don't appreciate the level of work that actually goes into putting together a team, not just in terms of recruitment, but you look at the visas, the cars, the accommodation, the multiple other things that go with it. It is absolutely phenomenal amount of work. And those were things that Todd Kelman, you know, Paul Leary didn't do any of that. Todd did all of that. But then Todd was also still in charge of the whole fan engagement side of things, the whole match night entertainment, sorting out X, Y, and Z, looking after the business.
Guess so, what I smell?
Exactly. You know, he was an all-encompassing general manager, and that is going to be divvied up, you know, to the best of my knowledge. And, you know, Steve will be absolutely superb. He's not just a great hockey mind. He also has a fantastic business mind, and it would be naive, silly, whatever way you want to put it, of the organization not to tap into that business brain of Steve Thornton's, because trust me, he is an incredibly, incredibly switched on individual. So for me, it's a win-win situation with Steve Thornton on board.
And finally, I'll take one more question, and you know I'll not go past our young Haley the Tiny. What are you looking forward to this coming season, and what have you missed the most? Paddy?
Can't have Twitter questions about one from Haley, can we?
That's correct.
What have we missed the most? Engagement with the game, engagement with regular talking about it. Like, the three of us talk hockey and likes of WhatsApp and all constantly, and when even more so when it gets into the season, and the fact that you get switched into that, and it's quite funny when it gets to about, you know, May, June, I do have that lull because, okay, the World Cup's involved, and did Spain lose tonight? And you're engaged in that, the other sport. When hockey season hits, it's all about that. And it's that build up coming through August. It's that, you know, excitement that your team are coming to hit the ice again. And then those different aspects of engagement with the game, engagement with the fans, engagement with the sport, you know, the atmosphere. I do miss what do I miss the most? I miss standing in the Odyssey when a game's going on, trying to basically shout my lungs out. It's my favorite part of the game, supporting my team, standing there and just, you know, getting involved emotionally with the game. And it's something that you miss in the off season, and September can't come soon enough.
And yourself, Neil?
Coming ill. What have I missed the most? I've missed Big Sizz, I have to say. I love calling the games with Big Sizz. Now, it's always good banter between the two of us. He's a great big lad, and
From Vegas. He'll have a few pounds.
He told us on social media every 2 seconds about what he was up to throughout his 10 days in Vegas. But I miss it right from. And like, I'm a busy man during the summertime with my cricket and what have you. But I'm just a hockey freak as well, like everybody else, and love the organization. Love walking into the Odyssey Arena match night and watching a good product on the ice. What was the other part of the question, David?
What have you missed the most? What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? Well, for me, this is a new dawn. This is the start, in my opinion, of a new era. I know we went with that hashtag last year, new era. For me, it is a new era now. We've got a new head of hockey operations in there, and Steve Thornton. Okay, we've got the nucleus of a very similar looking squad, which is absolutely fantastic. But there's going to be, you know, changes going on within the organization. I think it's really, really exciting times to be a Belfast Giants fan. And as I've said on a couple of occasions already this evening, whenever you have somebody like Robert Fitzpatrick and the Odyssey trust as owners, you can be absolutely rest assured he doesn't do coming second. And he is going to make sure that everything within the organization is done and done brilliantly well, both on and off the ice. So I think it's really the start of a new era for our organisation.
Davey, back to you.
Paddy, that's the end of the Twitter question.
I'm saying back to you with regards to, your answer to that one. You can't skip them all.
What am I most looking forward to this coming season? Winning the playoffs in Nottingham next April. And what have I missed the most? Just you guys and doing this podcast.
No.
As coach says, new era, new page. I've promised from this season going on, if you ask Davey a question, Davey will answer. So I've answered the most of them already today. If there's any more coming in, I'll answer them later or tomorrow. But you've been warned, if you ask a question, you might not like the answer, but you'll get one. So thanks for everybody.
That'll keep
everybody happy. Yeah. Not sure anything's going to keep that guy happy.
At AVFTB on Twitter, of course, hashtag Ask Davey. When we're coming up for our July one, we'll throw it out there. We really enjoy answering your questions, and Davey will be answering more when you ask them. Gentlemen, we've had quite a bit to talk about. Is there anything else? Anything that I'm missing? Anything that we need to discuss?
I think the only thing, I know we've mentioned it a couple of times already, but just the excitement of entering the Continental Cup. Okay, it's not the Champions League, but I think from a club perspective, we're entering the Continental Cup. For me, it's something that you just never know with the strength of the team that we have and will have come the start of the season. I think we could surprise a few teams around Europe in that competition. I think it's something really exciting for the fans to look forward to.
I agree. I think there is that disappointment. We spoke about it in the last podcast, that disappointment of not being able to take part in the Champions Hockey League in its first season, be it, due to scheduling, be it due to finances. That is a disappointment, not being able to be in amongst the elite of European hockey. But the Continental Cup is something that we've had a part of for twice now. We went to Lugano to the super final, beat Davos, an absolutely superb, one of the leading lights of European hockey in Davos, and we beat them in Switzerland. You can't look by that as one of the highlights of the history of the Belfast Giants. Then we had the disappointing on the ice, but fantastic off the ice trip to Landshut, which I'm starting to piece back together, I think, now from my trip over there. The fact that the Giants are able to be involved in that once more is great for the organization, no doubt about it. The Giants fans have traveled well. The Giants team have traveled well. And I believe, there's a meeting coming up in Budapest with regards to venue and whatever, and be it held at the Odyssey Arena or be it held elsewhere, and it'll be a fantastic event. I just hope it's held early enough that I can go. It's not going to be in the middle of November because that rules me out entirely.
Yeah, well, you will get married during the hockey season, Patrick.
Not my fault.
Whipped already.
Davey?
Yeah, it's exciting for the organisation. I somewhat flippantly said the other night, when we were interviewing Steve Thornton, that it was it's a good opportunity for the team to galvanise. We're not really going to win it. And Steve Thornton looked at me with a sort of, why not, And I suppose you don't want to win a competition, you don't enter it. Hopefully we can go as far as we can in the competition. But with other maybe more prestigious teams, and even the Nottingham Panthers being in the Champions League, it leaves an opportunity for, as you say, the Europa League, if you want to call it, of hockey for the Giants to maybe have a wee blast at it. Who knows where it'll be held, but one thing's for sure, the Giants fans will be there in numbers.
Yeah.
Anything else, Giants, or is that us to wrap it up?
Well, the only thing I would say, Paddy, I'm hoping that I'm not going to be, I'll paraphrase him rather than quote him, but Robert Fitzpatrick gave a fantastic speech after the Todd Kelman thing was done the other night, after coach had left the stage. He likes to make a final appearance. Robert went back up on the stage, And he said to the people that were there, and there was, as coaches already alluded, there was a fantastic crowd for a Monday night in June in the off season for to have hundreds and more than numbers, loads of families were in the Odyssey. And he said to them, come back because there's something is happening with the Belfast Giants here now, And Todd leaving, it's a start of a new beginning. And hockey, we get the right history every season in ice hockey. And this could be another fantastic year, but it's up to the fans out there and you people listening to take ownership and bring your friends, bring the next generation of fans. As Robert said at the end, don't stop believing because, something's going to happen in Belfast here. So enjoy the rest of your off season, guys.
Here. No better place to leave it. Thanks, gents.
Cheers, Patrick.
Thanks, Paddy. See you, Nate.
Thanks, as always, to the lads, to Dave Grant. That's for the talk on the UK Forum All-Stars, a really good charity. Please get involved with that. Follow them on Twitter. We'll put the details in the show notes. And, of course, thanks to former general manager and now owner of the Cardiff Devils, Todd Kelman. If you want to get in touch with us here at AVFTB, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. You can get us on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/AVFTB. And the website is, of course, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Quick ending to the show tonight because it's quite late, it's quite warm, and I want to get to bed. So, wherever you are over the summer, we hope you're enjoying your off season. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.